Thank you for being with us here today at Southridge. My name is Tim. For those of you that this is your first time tuning in, each summer there's a number of us that give Jeff a little bit of break as he gets to work closely with the Summer at the Ridge camp that we have here. And at the same time, he's doing preparations for the fall and the upcoming year for us. So it gives him a little bit of planning time, so we take some of these messages off of his back. So today, we're starting a new series, and the title of today's series is Songs for the Soul. And we're going to be in Psalm 1 if you want to get your Bibles out and get them ready. So we're going to cover all of Psalm 1. And the title of today's message is The Path You Choose. And how we're rooted in, and what we're rooted in determines those paths for us. So I'm sure that many of you have at some point are familiar with the poem, or at least a portion of the poem that was written by Robert Frost called The Road Not Taken. It was first published in 1915. And I'm gonna read us through that because I think it's applicable to some of the message content that we have today. So two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps a better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that passing there, had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first one for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I should be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. So the closing lines of this poem are often cited as a triumph of an individual who's accomplished something or did something that most won't or can't do. It's used as a call for people to take chances and go along paths that many people either can't do or they're not willing to do. And I'm sure that most of you have always seen that poem that way. But if you look closely at the preceding lines before the closing stanza, there's a hint that maybe he actually didn't take the right path, that it wasn't satisfying, and they may have taken the wrong road, because he makes the comment, "I will be telling this with a sigh somewhere in the ages hence." Robert Frost was asked in an interview to shed some light and resolution to the meaning of the poem because it had been long debated about whether the right road was taken or not. And his response was, "Well, that's a tricky one." In other words, we the readers, we get to decide. It's like the ending of the movie Inception. If you've seen Inception, at the end, he's got a top that's spinning on the table as he walks out towards his family. And we as the viewer has to decide whether or not he's actually being reunited with his family in real life, or is he being reunited with his family in a dream world? So we could spend hours upon hours pulling apart this poem, and if you have a chance, take the time and go look up the backstory behind how this poem was actually written, because it's also another interesting story. But that's not why we're here today. So as Christians or people who are searching for Christ, what we're rooted in should be determining the path that we choose along life's winding trails. But if we're rooted in the wrong stuff, it won't grow the life you actually want and what God desires for you. And if we're not careful, we'll choose the paths that don't lead to God's promise and desire for each of us. So most of us are chasing something. We're either chasing security, fulfillment, purpose, meaning. We're building our lives in what culture says will make us happy. And then we're wondering, why are we still tired, anxious, or numb? Have you ever noticed that we take personality tests to figure out who it is we are? We change jobs to find something more fulfilling. We scroll endlessly trying to see what everybody else is doing so that we understand what maybe that's what we should be doing as well. We medicate with Amazon, binge shows that about people who are also unhappy, and we reshare Instagram quotes about boundaries like that's going to fix everything. Psychologists define happiness as the experience of joy, contentment, or positive well-being, combined with a sense that one's life is good, meaningful, and worthwhile. The words good, meaningful, and worthwhile. Those are some pretty big words. Let's be transparent. Most of us don't feel any of them, at least not consistently and not in a deep, meaningful way. Not in a way that anchors us when the bottom drops out. But what if our problem isn't that we don't want happiness bad enough? What if happiness isn't something you chase, but something that grows when your roots run deep in the right place? This is where Psalm 1 comes in. It's not a Hallmark card. It's not religious fluff. It's ancient wisdom that's been passed to us. It's brutally honest. It's deeply practical, surprisingly countercultural, and it's inspired by God. This psalm is intentionally placed at the very front of Israel's hymn book. It sets the tone for all the raw emotion, brutal honesty, and beautiful praise that follows. Psalm 1 is a wisdom psalm, which means it's not offering comfort, it's offering us clarity. But let's start out. And as we read, we're going to stop to understand what the songwriter is writing. And we're going to start off with verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. So blessed here isn't some type of hashtag blessed. In Hebrew, ashrei means deeply satisfied, content, and thriving. So you need to think about durable joy. It's not a surface level, circumstantial happiness. This is rooted in wholeness. The first thing the psalmist does is that he tells us what not to do. Notice the spiral of disconnection. Walk, stand, sit. These three verbs spiral down. We walk, we stand, we sit, we become progressively entrenched. What starts as a glance becomes a groove for us. We walk with the wrong crowd. We stop and settle. We sit and we make our home in it. The disconnection is with God. Remember, if we're rooted in or connected to the wrong stuff or people, we won't grow the life that we actually want and what God desires for us. It's a warning against drift. Sin rarely kicks the door down. It knocks and it sounds reasonable. Tim Keller said, "You don't fall into sin, you slide into it. The moment you stop delighting in God, something else will take His place." So we have to watch where we're getting our counsel and truth. If our worldview is being shaped more by Netflix programs or algorithms, political podcasts, self-help books, than it is by the Word of God, then we're already starting to drift. We have to watch how we start to act. Are we living like people who ignore God? The songwriter is pretty clear that when you and I are standing with those who ignore God, we become comfortable in compromise. We need to watch where we belong. The songwriter is warning against sitting with mockers because mockers are more than just non-believers. They're those who make fun of the truth. Are you rooted with people who feel your faith or with those that fracture it? Verse 2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night? Delight may refer to one's heart wanting to spend some time following God. The songwriter seems very clear that our delight in God comes not from duty, but from our relationship with Him. Think of it like relational loyalty. Michael Heiser wrote, "Yahweh's people love His word not because they're forced to, but because they're family." Now the word meditate may refer to one's mind as it thinks about God and His word. The songwriter uses a word in that time that literally meant to chew on. It's more than just reading. It's digesting. It's like enjoying a good meal, taking your time to savor it. So what digestion is to the body, meditation is to the soul. We don't grow just by reading a verse a day. We grow by absorbing truth until it starts showing up in how we talk, act, decide, and love. Verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. The songwriter is using the tree as the anchor image of this song. The tree is stable, it's enduring, and it's truthful. The streams are constant and they're nourishing. God's word is flowing consistently. The tree is planted, which means it was intentional, it was purposeful, not wild or accidental. Simply, trees stay put. Think about it. You won't always see the fruit right away, but rooted people never waste a season. If we tie this to the fruit of the Spirit as it's laid out for us in Galatians 5, God grows within us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This doesn't happen overnight, but over time, and only when you and I are rooted. Verse 4 and 5. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteous. Now the songwriter uses chaff as an analogy. So chaff doesn't have roots, weight, or any direction. In the time when this was written, farmers would toss the wheat into the air, and everything that separated or blew away was chaff. The real stuff fell back down, and the useless, weightless stuff just blew away. For some of us, we can have all the right aesthetics, have no spiritual weight. Then when the winds of life come, we're blown away because our foundation, our source of truth, came from other people in other places other than God. It's verse 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The songwriter is likening God to a gardener who tends our roots, pruning our growth, and protecting our process. There will be storms and there's going to be famine, but because we're rooted, our growth doesn't stop. Psalm 1 is holding up a mirror. Instead of looking through a microscope, it's not asking us to analyze someone else's life. It's asking us to be brutally honest about our own life. So some of you hearing this may be real unhappy with yourself if you're answering honestly about what it is that you may be rooted in. But this isn't about shame. Instead, this is about awareness and it's about invitation. God's not trying to guilt you or me into reading your Bible more. He's offering something better than survival mode faith. He's offering roots, depth, durability, a life that flourishes regardless of the season. So here's how you can start rooting differently this week. One, pick your stream. Choose what you'll drink from. If the Bible is like a stream, just don't sip it once in a week and wonder why you're dehydrated. It's something that we go to each day, even if it's only for a sip. Start somewhere. We encourage here at Southridge, encourage people to download the YouVersion Bible app and then follow our church, as we provide a way to read the Bible in a year, or there are countless of other reading plans that are available. Believe it or not, just 5 minutes in the Bible can really change your day. And as you do that more and more and it builds upon itself, it can change your life. There's two great questions to ask yourself when listening or reading the Bible. The first one, what does this show me about who God is? And then the second one is, what does this show me about who I am? Second recommendation, find your spot. The trees don't grow on the run, they grow where they're planted. So what's your spot going to be? And what we mean by that is find a place where you're not going to have distractions so you can listen to God as we read from His Word. And then the last recommendation is talk back to God. And this is a step that's usually left off when we're reading our Bible. It would be responding to it. Responding to what we're reading is big for our growth. Maybe it means writing out a prayer or saying a prayer. Or maybe it means journaling some of your thoughts. Tim Keller, a pastor who died of cancer, once said, "To stand in the presence of God, that is what the gospel is. The gospel is not primarily about forgiveness, it's about getting God." So if we can be bold enough to suggest that the songwriter is helping us understand that what you're rooted in determines whether you endure or you blow away. Psalm 1 is not about how to have a better week. It's about how to have a better life. Not a storm-free life, but a storm-resistant one. We get to choose what kind of life we build and which path or paths we choose. It's the one that's impressive on the outside or rooted underneath the surface. It's the chaff or one that bears fruit for your kids, your friends, and your church, which we'll feast on for years to come. God's not wanting us to be perfect. He's just inviting us to plant ourselves by the stream. But let's go back to where we started about choosing paths. So if you have in your mind that the path looks like what you see on your screen, a single fork where we choose one or the other, God's path or something else, think again. It actually looks like this. Multiple forks with multiple paths to choose. Look, we are all human. We all make mistakes, we're flawed, and we're all weak. Sometimes the different paths we have to choose will occur over a month or a year. And sometimes we have to choose multiple paths a day. We're not always going to choose the right one. And we're not always going to choose the path God wants us on. The good news is that if we're rooted in God, He provides us a way to get back on the path that leads to Him. The world is loud, it's fast, it's overstimulated, but rooted people are different. Rooted people don't shout to prove something. Those rooted don't flinch when the storm hits because they're trees planted strong, bearing fruit, and offering shade. Think about this. If more than one of us did this in our families, community, and our church, one tree is beautiful. But a forest changes the climate. It provides protection. It makes a way when there wasn't one. And it provides strength. That's what a church like ours could be. Not just people trying to do better, but people rooted in the Word of God, planted in grace, and growing a life that lasts. All right, every week we ask you guys to think about the message and then contemplate on usually about two or three questions. So this week, what we're asking you to think about is what's been shaping your mindset the most lately? What's been feeding your soul and what's been draining it? Are you becoming someone who can endure storms or someone who gets blown around by them? Thank you all for joining us today, and we hope to see you back here again next week. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to anybody on the staff, feel free to engage with us on our website. Have a great week.